Last week I said, you know, we're going to try to get into an area called the believer's authority. April wasn't able to be here on Wednesday for prayer, so I was in here praying by myself. And sometimes it's good to pray by yourself, amen? And I'm going to walk through kind of some of the things that he said to me in that prayer time. It was as good as this morning, in here all by myself, amen? My hair was standing up. But he's going to take us a different direction. These are the notes he gave me Wednesday night. You can see how they're just nothing but scratches and turn. And then this is what I tried to turn them into. I was in praying this morning before I got here, and he said, I want you to start with what I shared with you Wednesday night. Amen. He said, teach on increase. I said, increase? Increase in your boundaries. Increase on your influence. Increase on the anointing and capacity. The anointing breaks the yoke. And as we preach on the word, we stand on the word, that is what's going to set the captive free, amen, in all of our lives. You know, I don't think what he gave me Wednesday was directly for the church, amen? It was really more for me, because I'm growing in this thing also. You know, if you asked me 2 years ago if I would have been in this position, I would have said no. I had no desire to pastor a church. Well, I shouldn't say that. You know how there's always something inside, you know. I mean, I didn't go to Bible college because I didn't know. But I always saw myself as the guy behind the scenes, not the lead guy. And all of a sudden, I'm thrust into this position. And the Lord knew that. The Lord knew that 15, 20 years ago, or 25 years ago, whenever he brought me back to Greentown. One of the things that he did do with me, and I'll share this a little bit with you, it's probably been, my boy's 11 years old now, right, JD? JD's 12. About a year after we adopted JD, everything in me said, oh, I want my boy to experience what I did, where I, you know, basically where I was raised. So I was at a church serving in leadership. I went to the leadership and said, hey, look, the Lord has laid on my heart to go back to Hawaii and plant a church. So I did. So I made 3 or 4 trips back there. I took some of the people with me. I still have the plan for the whole church. You know, I'm a blueprint kind of guy. So I kind of laid out, this is what the youth ministry is, completely opposite of what we're doing here, because we're just winging it. maybe he was trying to tell me something back then too. Be led by the Spirit of God. So I made a couple trips back there. I made my final trip back there. I was staying at a YWAM base, a Youth of the Mission base up there. Had some friends up there that were running it. My purpose then that trip was to find a building, lease it, make preparations to come back, move the family that way. And while I was there, the Lord spoke to me, says, I didn't call you to Hawaii. I called you to Greentown. Man, that burned. That hurt. I mean, man, I was raised on one of the most pristine beaches in Hawaii, in Kailua. It's a white sand beach. JD's already been there. I tried to drown him on the beach. He's only 1 year old. We're out there playing on the beach. That's what I want with my boys. But the Lord spoke to me. He said, I didn't call you here. And what he said to me, my wealthy place is here. And that spoke right to my heart. Basically, what was he saying to me? He says, your success, your future, your prosperity is here in Greentown. Now, that being said, drive through Greentown. You know, wait, that's a one-stop white little town. Now, that was a little hard to swallow. That being said, I had to come back. I had to go to the leadership of the church that I was at and say, hey, look it, man, I missed it. Bottom line. And it was very humbling for me, but there were also other people. You know, we were talking in the shop this week with a lady. It affected relationships because other people were willing to follow me 6,000 miles to the middle of the ocean to do something, and I had to go to them and say, hey man, I just missed it. And their confidence, because we follow leaders, was shattered, and it took some of them back. And what I learned out of that, there is a responsibility as a leader. People follow people. And when you break their trust or the way they look at you, sometimes you can never get that back. That being said, how are you living your life? Amen? Because you always hurt the ones that are closest to you. So that was just from the Spirit of God. I don't even know why I didn't have that written up. You have influence. Leadership is influence. You never want to break your influence over anybody. That's what Jesus said. He laid his life down for the, and then in the parable when he talks about going after the sheep, the one lost sheep, man, he knew the sheep and he knew he was lost. Your influence in that life. We always go the extra mile, and that's extra. Now, we talked a little bit about, in the last few weeks, El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, the God of increase, the God is more than enough capacity to communicate. And as I was praying this week, there is a direct correlation between increase and capacity. Capacity is what we can hold. Increase is how we expand what we can hold. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do with everything in our life when it comes to the Lord. We got to increase our capacity of what we can actually hold of Him. Why do we do that? So that we can be a blessing to others. That's how we win the world, folks. It's how we grow in the things of God. You know, we're doing that little course on Thursday over here, getting a grip on the basics. And that's all this is. This is all basic stuff. But if we don't increase our capacity, we're never going to touch this world. We're never going to touch our neighbor. We're never going to have what it takes in us to reach people. Amen? What I got in 2 pages came in about 5 minutes, okay? What I'm saying is this is going to be a 5, 6, 8 week teaching because I'm learning it. That's the bottom line, okay? He's teaching me so I can teach you. So it's all going to be new, and the rabbit trails we take, I don't know. But I'm going to start with what he gave me Wednesday, and then if we get to it, we'll start in my blueprint little mind in that little office, how I try to put it in a blueprint, okay? Then we'll start down that, and if you can, just believe for me that we increase our capacity. That's the main thing. Over the next 5, 8, 10, 100 weeks, if we get into this thing and we just keep preaching this, I'm all right with it. That we increase in our capacity and our knowledge of Him, and that's His Word. We want to increase our capacity of what the Word of God says in our lives. That we will increase in His character. Think about this. He had character. The character, how He treated people, how He acted amongst people, that character needs to become our character. Amen? Increase in the knowledge of His desires. I'm saying, Lord, you have desires? He desires that none shall perish, but all come to love. He has desires for your life. He has places where He wants to get you in life. His desires should be your desires. A lot of times, what we do is we get so focused in our own little life just trying to survive, we put His desires on the side. But it says the steps of a righteous man are what? Ordered by God. Those are His desires for us. But if we're not walking in His desire, we're never going to fulfill our calling or our purpose. You know, one of the things that we push so hard in this is basically discovering our purpose in life. I heard a thing from John Maxwell this week. The greatest thing in your life is the day you were born and the day you discover what your purpose is. Think about that. The day that you finally come to an understanding of knowing God and knowing why He put you here. That's His desire for us. Whew, man. We need to discover, and it's not my purpose for you, it's His purpose for you. It's how He wants to work through you. It's His power, His anointing working through you. Amen? We're going to break this all down. We're going to spend, if we have to spend 85 weeks discussing things along this line, that's what's going to fill this building. Because once we start understanding why God's called us, and the purpose that we have, we're going to get excited. And we're going to start elbowing our neighbors. And we're going to say, hey, man, we need to get over it. You need to come hear this. This is changing my life. That's faith. That's exactly how He worked with His disciples. He goes, man, this is a little sideline. We'll take a little rabbit trail. Nicodemus. What was Nicodemus' response to his brother when he said, hey, look, I just found the Savior. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? Think about this. Can any good thing happen in Greentown? Think about it. I mean, we are a one-stop little town with high water bills. Can anything good happen in Greentown? Absolutely it can. Can Azusa Street happen here in Greentown? Absolutely it can. How's it happen? Through us. Through his anointing working through us. How did Azusa Street happen? You got 8 or 10, 12 people in a little room that started worshiping the Lord like we were this morning. His power dropped and it spread all over the world. It can happen right here. It can happen in this building. We want it to happen in our building. Dry bones. While we were in worship, the Lord spoke to me. The devil wanted to kill this work that started 30 years ago in a building. Actually, it started 40 years ago, I think, through Roy King. He wanted to destroy that work. I'm telling you, man, we are breathing. And no. He is breathing the work and life back into this church. Let me get out of the way so he can do it. Hope that got recorded. Glory to God. We need to increase in the knowledge of his direction. I mentioned this a little bit ago. He does have a direction for each one of us. As you find your direction, this church will find its direction. Because what is the church? It's you. As you start to fulfill the steps of a righteous man are what? Ordered by God. He'll order everything into place. And back to my story about Hawaii. That was not the right steps. Now I came back and it's been 12 years, because he's 12 years old. So let's say 10 years of me after I got back going, dum-diddy-dum-diddy-dum-diddy-dum, what do I do now? I had to persevere through this. I went to Bible college. I figured by the time I get out of Bible college, I'll be out pastoring a church by then. Oh, you know, I mean, that's what you think before you go. Then he directs me to come back here. Okay. Then I come back, and it's an utter failure. I'll be honest with you. It was 12 or 13 years of wow. And having to deal. And I know what the Lord was doing in my life. What was he doing? He was preparing me for now. And he was trying to work within me. And I do have a hard head and a very hard heart. I do. And he needed to work on me. I mean, I think we could have speeded this up really quick if I was a little more intelligent and a little bit more soft. You know, he says he's the potter, we're the clay. He needed a lot of water on me. Moisten this boy up. Because he was preparing me for his time as this. And I see it clear as day now. But when I was going through it, I was like, man, what are you doing, man? I felt like those dry bones. You know, I was at a church. I was in leadership doing what I was supposed to be doing. And I'll be honest with you, if it wasn't for my wife, I don't think I would have stuck it out. My wife is the anchor of my life, okay? I mean, I have, I'm like the firecracker. When you light it, I just go off. She is the one. This is what the Lord said. Let's just keep the course. You know, she's the one that says, this is my perception. I'll let you in. I figured this place be full by now. Man, we've been doing this for 3 weeks. She says, stay the course. Stay the course. God, if I could, yeah. I mean, if I could just, that's just not me. I'm a builder. We can get that building up in 3 days. Okay. That's just how I am. Because I see what we can do. I see down the road. But she, and she's always been this way, and I think that's why your helpmate, however God hooks you up, she sent, you know, God, he had to send her to Hawaii, and we met in a crisis center. So You know, however you got to get together, you get together. And I was the crisis. I was a crisis. But she's always been steady. She's always heard. She's never walked a day without the Lord. To me, that's a testimony. You know, we have all these great testimonies about how the Lord intervenes in our life. But the greatest testimony speaks to me is a lady who has always heard the voice of God and been obedient to it. And she's just as steady as, you know, just minister to the people that come. Just give them what you need. Okay. I still want everything full, okay? But she understands how to get the direction in her life. She's always taken the time to do that. Even before she left Hawaii, she took a year out of, you know, most of her family's going to college and becoming speech therapists. And she gets out of school and she heads to a place up in Pennsylvania for a retreat for missionaries and spends a year up there praying. Like, that's what most 18-year-olds do. Not when I was 18. I was just getting out of jail. That's another story. We need to increase in the knowledge of his personality. Because he has a personality. And he wants to work through your personality to show the world who he is. You understand what I'm saying? He wants to use you. He wants to flow through you and use his personality to reach this neighborhood, to reach this trailer park next door. He wants to use your personality, and he wants to influence your personality with his personality. Because he does laugh. God, he's got to laugh. Look what he's looking at. Look what he's called. Think about it. Okay. We need to increase in the knowledge of his compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. We need to increase in the compassion of God. Because the compassion of God will move through, not only move through us, but will instruct us on how to reach the world. He was very aware of everything that was going on around him. And he was moved with compassion. That's where the power gifts moved. That's where you see the healings. That's where you're seeing demonic influences, people being set free. It was when he was moved with compassion. As we start to develop that, increase our capacity with the compassion of God, that's when the power gifts will start to flow back through us, the church. That's why we're not seeing it today. There's no compassion. And what's the opposite of compassion? Selfishness. We're more consumed by what we're trying to do in our own life than the world around us. And keeping our eyes on the people that he's putting us across. I shared this story with you before. You know, when I was in Bible college, you're all filled up. You know, I'm driving around town with a guy that came down from here. And there was a guy going through, it was an epilepsy? He was having one of those on the side of the road. And we're driving at a bus stop. We're driving down, Diane's with me and this guy, and I say, stop! And I jump out, lay hands on him, rebuke the thing, and he pops up. Now, I was more surprised than he was, okay? But it was just the eyes of compassion looking. I said, whoa, we got to do something here. And the only thing I had to do was pray. So I was moved, but that was compassion working through me and opened up for God to work through me and the power for him to release. That's what he wants to do through us as we do our daily lives. As we develop the compassion of Christ in our lives, we'll start to see the power gifts moving. Wouldn't it be kind of neat? As you're just kind of walking through life and you see things, say, okay, yeah. Walk up and just lay hands on somebody that's in a wheelchair and tell them to stand up. Because that's what the apostles did. You know, silver and gold have I none, but hey, what I do have. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. That's the compassion of God. And he wants to work through us that way. That's what he wants to do. As we increase in the knowledge of compassion, Christ will work through us. Amen? And I haven't got through any of this. This is a statement that he made to me. Well, I don't know where the next banner is going to go. I got four of them to put up front here. But we have a spirit of increase on us. The spirit of increase is on this place. The spirit of increase is on you. He wants to expand your boundaries. He wants to increase you in every area of your life. That's a word to you through me. Amen? It's already on you. Let's cooperate with it. Now, this is to me, okay? This is what he spoke to me. I want to read it, and you can apply it in your life if you need it, okay? If you will spend 15 minutes in prayer, you will increase in your capacity. Capacity means the maximum something can contain or produce, is what he spoke to me. So if I will spend 15 minutes, just 15 minutes, quietly with my Father, I will increase in my capacity of what I can contain and produce. I signed myself up that night. It didn't take a whole lot. I just said, okay, Lord, this is me. You got it. 15 minutes a day? 15 minutes out of how many minutes are in a day? I don't know. Now, this is where it's going to get a little hairy because I got stuff all over here. Influence in my capacity to influence people will make disciples, hear and do the work of God, which is to see the signs and the wonders. If you want to see the signs and the wonders, you better get involved with people. And if you want to make disciples, you've heard this from the first day I took the pulpit. My job is here to do what? To find someone who is faithful that I can impart what I know so that he can do the same thing. That's 2 Timothy 2:2. Basically, my charge is to take everything that God's given me, find somebody who's hungry enough to listen to me, get it into them so that they can go do the same thing. That's how we multiply. That's multiplication. That's exactly what Jesus did with the 12. He wasn't out there trying to win the multitudes. He did. He ministered to the multitudes, but he discipled the 12. And it all started from the discipling. He spent time with them. He encouraged them. He picked them up, scolded them sometimes, put them on their little feet, and sent them back out. Amen? That's what we're to do. The power to increase is acting on his word. Amen? That's what we're going to start doing here. As we discover how to increase in our capacity to do that list of stuff. And I do have one on the bottom here, and this is just, I was going through some stuff the other day. I have at the very bottom of this little list of his, and it's a blank. I got a feeling we're going to have a bunch more of those blanks filled in as we start to do this. Because this is a lifelong journey of increase, expansion, and what? How do we put more in? How do we expand what's in us already? And he likened it unto what you hear from me all the time. The minute you're born again, the entirety of the Godhead moves into you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. God moves in. And everything God is, everything God has, all of his power and ability are where? In us. So basically, he's there. We just got to increase our capacity in our knowledge of how to be used by God. That's what we're called to do. That's how we're going to win our neighbor. That's how we're going to win our family members. That's how we're going to operate in the power gifts. Is allowing the word that became flesh and dwelt among us, who is in us, work through us. The word working through us. His word. Next week, we're going to start our little journey. Larry, why don't you go ahead and put up the two scriptures for me? In Luke 5:51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all the things in her heart. These are the two scriptures, if you can start going over there. And this is 1 Samuel 2:26. Now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with him. What I want you to see here is they both had to grow. Jesus had to grow. I'm going to go into Luke here real quick for you because I don't think I got it all the way down there. That's probably me. What I want to leave you with, kind of meditating on and chewing for the week, let me read this to you. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I want to leave you with this question. If Jesus had to do it, and the wisest man that ever walked the earth, Samuel, had to do it, do you think it's something we better get into our lives? We want to grow in this. When I saw it, I mean, because I was kind of going through some of this stuff Thursday and Friday, I said, well, how did Jesus do it? He did it the same way we did. Remember, he was flesh. He was just as much human as you and I were. He had to train himself to grow. Paul talks about it all the time. I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. At least when I've run the race, I'm not disqualified. That whole scripture is based on I. If you're not disciplining yourself, if you're not increasing in your capacity, then you're dying. You have to do the work. And we're all going to do the work. It's like that little Bible study. I'll use me. If you want to know about Greek and Hebrew, don't come to me. If you want to know about end times, don't come to me. Because I don't know a thing about it. I can point you to the right direction. Here, go listen to this guy. Because he studied it. What God has anointed me with is practical, how do you grow and have victory in your life? That's all I care about because that's all I've been trying to do for 60 years is trying to survive out there. Because the enemy walks around seeking whom he may devour. And man, I've been getting devoured in my life a lot. So all I've been trying to do is figure out how to keep his teeth off my butt. And that's where I major. I major on how do I apply the word so that I can start walking in the word so I can walk in victory. Now, I'll worry about getting there when it's time to get there. I know the door is open, but what happens before we go, if it's pre-trib, post-trib, I don't know. I just know there's a lot of grace. His work, his power and ability working through me, he'll get me through it. Amen? All right, I'm done preaching. Glory to God. That was a side trip. That was a rabbit trail. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for where you're going to take us on this little journey. We thank you, Lord God. You said in your word, the steps of a righteous man. And Lord, as we open up your word in this area, we ask that you will illuminate our hearts, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to obey you in every area, Father. And Father, I just thank you right now, Lord. Lord, as we get ready to have a long weekend and do the festivities of this weekend, Father, Lord, that you would be with us, that you would give us an opportunity to share with somebody this week what you have done in my life today. Lord, use me to draw people into the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God.